Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Thursday, March 24th, 2022. And for starters, I had planned on discussing the ESG stuff tonight, financial stuff. But we're going to talk about that in depth next week, and we're going to include the New World Order that our president was mentioning the other yesterday or day before. We are in a New World Order, and what that really means, which includes digital currency and a whole lot of other things. So we're going to get into that next week. This week there had been a lot of talk about Walt Disney World and the don't say gay bill in Florida here, which wasn't what the thing was, and that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit about this today. And the question is going to be, in the situation that America is facing today, do we need Mickey Mouse or do we need Mighty Mouse? Because right now there seems to be a lot of confusion out there as to what's going on. And you're just wondering what's happening to this culture in so many ways, and the role of the Magic Kingdom and these kind of things. So Karen Schoen is going to be joining us here in a few minutes. She's going to share a little bit with us, and then she will going to another show at the same right shortly after. So we've got that, but I wanted to kind of explain this insanity of what's going on here. And the we as a culture, what is happening to the a culture of the United States of America? And I guess I'm going to start out by saying, well, we can talk about natural law. What is natural law when it comes to homosexuality, transgendering, and these other pedophilia, whatever? Natural law, and of course, biblically speaking, a man and a woman. A man and a woman is what natural law is. It's not natural for the man to be with a man and the woman to be with a woman. That just isn't natural law. And I personally don't care what an adult does in their own bedroom. That part, that's their decision, not mine. So it's not a matter of me not liking it or whatever, not thinking a person has the right to do whatever they choose to do. Because I do believe that they have the right to, you know, if that's what they choose to live. And as an adult, if they choose to go through a process to totally change their body, then, you know, okay, that's what they do as an adult. So it's not a matter of me having some weird phobia or whatever else they want to say. It's I'll just openly say I don't totally understand it. I don't understand why someone is rejecting what they were given at birth. Why do they not feel comfortable in their own skin, if I can use it that way? So this is what I'm asking. It's something. There's a bigger problem here. There's a bigger problem here, and then we see a society being turned on just all upside down. And the role of a place like Walt Disney World to go out there and try to chime in on policy about an educational bill, which has nothing to do with gays. It has everything to do with who has the right to teach the children about sex, and when do you do that? That's what it is. And this bill, they keep going around calling it the gay bill, don't say gay, whatever. That's not what it is. I'm going to read the section here with what's really going on with this Florida bill, and it's called the Parental Rights in Education Act, okay? Classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a manner that is not age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance to state standards. Okay, that's what the bill is. It's not saying anything about gay and transgender or anything else, but I think there's something really sick when we're worried, when you have a child there in kindergarten, and you're worried about trying to brainwash or convince this child, well, you know, Tommy doesn't really want to act like a boy today. Tommy wants to be a girl, wants to be whatever, Betty, whatever. And is that what the child really went there to say? Kindergarten, it goes up to the teacher and said, I feel like a girl today. I don't really feel like a boy. Is that what's really happening? Or is this some kind of brainwashing, manipulation, whatever you want to call it, by these people in the classroom, the teachers? It's all insane. So I'm the first one to say I don't totally understand what happens, what makes a person choose to mutilate their body and change their sex orientation, what God gave them. I don't understand it. I don't understand homosexuality. Is it really a mental illness, or is it a physical illness? Was it a birth defect, or is physical illness? I don't really know. It's all kind of strange to me. I don't understand it. But I don't care. You know, a person's choice as an adult, do what you want, whatever. But when that decision you make starts to impact the rest of us around you, or when public education tries to use education as a means to address this, to somehow at kindergarten, I mean, it's just so sick. It doesn't make sense. So, and we'll talk a little bit about the swimmer, a male swimmer competing with the women. There's something nuts here. And what does it say about this culture? What does it say about us? Now, with that being the basic being said here, I see Karen is out there, and I'm going to get Karen Schoen. Welcome, Karen. Please let everybody know about your show, and you're a little bit interested in education for a couple of reasons, and help us figure out what is going on. Do we need Mickey Mouse, or do we need Mighty Mouse?
Right now, we need ourselves to be engaged. That's what's needed. All of us guys that are wondering what's going on, well, I see multiple things going on here, and transgenderism is, and what they're trying to do to our kids are part of it. But I am reminded of something that a philosopher by the name of Voltaire said, which I thought is absolutely perfect for today. If someone can get you to believe in absurdities, then they will be able to get you to commit atrocities. And I think that's what we're seeing. This, to me, is how far can we push the people doing something absolutely stupid? And that's what this is. The people that are fighting this bill never even read the bill. You read it. How long did it take to read the bill? A couple of minutes? Did I hear the word gay? No. And yet this is what they're out there screaming, although I did read that the Disney people, their big thing that they were doing was a big bust, and maybe that will save Disney's butt, because the last thing we should be doing now is going to Disney. Now Disney has said that they will make sure that they have more gay characters in the future. Now, I got to go back to school because that's where all of this is coming from. And by not understanding math, people don't realize that 0.05%, which out of 330 million people, is not a lot of people. Not a lot at all. 15,000? 150,000? That's not a lot out of 330 million. They are dictating to us what to do. How is that majority rules as they scream we are a democracy? How is that right that a small minority of people get to push around a big majority of people? And then this one really got me. I thought this was the creme de la creme for today. The Democrats and rhinos are screaming about the Ukraine and how we have to support the Ukraine and Ukraine and Ukraine and Ukraine, and of course we have to protect their borders while ours are open, blah, blah, blah. However, right after I read that article about how we have to support Ukraine and all of these people that are traitors that didn't vote to give Ukraine Boku money. I read another article that says the officers in the Ukrainian army told a transgender woman, "You're a man. You need to fight." This is who they're supporting. This is who these people who are crazy about transgenderism are supporting. So we go back to what Voltaire said. If you can get these people to believe in absurdities, this is absurd. It is absurd that we are spending our hard-earned money that we don't have to destroy our children, which haven't been born yet, over an army of people that don't even have our values or don't have their values. I happen to agree with him on the transgender part because, to me, you are a man or a woman, period, and it doesn't really matter what you try to do about it. Nothing is going to change that. And you should accept God's gift instead of trying to recreate it. But I thought that to me was the absolute creme de la creme of all of this.
Yeah,
and then we have a justice who is going to be, think about this one, a woman who is going to be a justice in a lifetime appointment who can't even define what a woman is.
Sick.
That is absurd.
Absolutely sick.
And really, yeah, and that's absurd. And why are we the people allowing that to happen?
Yeah, and the scary part when it comes to the Supreme Court lady out there, Jackson, that she will probably get on the Supreme Court, and yet you can't even talk about what a man is or what a woman is. You don't know what a woman is. And that she gave some crazy excuse about, well, there's things being discussed right now on this or whatever. She said some gobbledygook like that, and I'm like, that has nothing to do with the question. It comes down to the man who was in the swimming pool competing with the women. Was he a woman or was he a man? If you can't tell the difference, then we got another problem. And what kind of rulings are you going to make?
That's right. That's a very scary thing. She's going to, men and women are going to be going in front of the court, and they're going to be asking, and she's going to go, oh, I don't know what a woman is. Excuse me?
Oh, it's so scary. It really is. It makes no sense. And the other part about this, I don't understand what really is happening and how much of this is public education starting in kindergarten of what they've been doing, I guess. Does a kindergarten kid really go to school and say, teacher, I'm a girl, but I really want to be a boy. Can you help me? Is that really what happens? How does this conversation even begin in grades, kindergarten through grade three? I just don't believe this. That's what's coming up. And yet these people, they can't even teach kids to read or write.
Sally, you don't look so good today. Is there something bothering you, sweetheart? Are you unhappy? Are you unhappy with the way your life is turning out? What is your problem?
Well,
I see you staring over there at those little boys. What's your problem, sweetheart? Do you wish you could go play with them? That's how it starts.
Yeah.
And the teachers are trained to do that. They are trained to ask. Yeah, they are trained to ask the questions that will guide. We call this outcome-based education. When you ask the questions that will guide to the answer that you want. And that's what they do.
I see Dr. Joe out there wants to chime in on this. So we'll see what he's thinking on there. Hello, Dr. Joe.
Hi, good evening, ladies. I wanted to add, it's actually quite timely, Chris Wright, who writes the Daily Skirmish, in his column yesterday I want to read one paragraph. Critical race theory taught in Georgetown Day School. He was doing a little blurb on the SCOTUS candidate. As I've documented many times before, is derived from critical theory, which was invented by the Frankfurt School cultural Marxists. Remember, they came over from Germany in the 1930s and set up shop in Columbia University. For the express purpose of tearing society apart, transgender activists explicitly tell you on video their goal is to use transgenderism as a bludgeon to usher in a communist society. Communist theory Georgi Lukacs preached a sexual revolution to bring about communism. Karl Marx himself said, the education of all children, from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care, shall be in state institutions. So it seems like all these insane ideas for sexualizing young children only came up in the last 15 minutes, but they've really been in the works by communist planners for decades.
Dr. Joe, do you remember the Kinsey Report?
I've heard of it.
Well, Dr. Alfred Kinsey wrote a report, and he studied, I don't remember, I would say about 300 people. And in his report, he decided that man is only capable of action when his physical desire needs it. So man is a very sexual animal, and that women are capable of having an orgasm, and he went into this whole dissertation. But the one that struck me was when he said that babies experience sexual pleasure from the time they are 3 months old. So this was in the 60s. This is the same crowd doing the same thing that they did in the 60s. Nothing has changed. The 60s and 70s, this is the same crowd that bombed from 71 to 72. There were over 2,000 buildings in America that were bombed by the Weather Underground and the Black Panthers. And then what happened to these people? Where did they go? Because they certainly didn't go to jail.
No, they went to the universities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is exactly where we are. And you mentioned the Frankfurt School. Well, the Aspen Institute and the WEF, World Economic Forum, are replacing the Frankfurt School, but they're doing exactly the same thing.
And it looks like they're trying to normalize pedophilia.
Yes, they are, because when you take away a person's ability of factual information and you give them those skills and you are constantly banging on them and banging on their brain to promote pleasure, 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 what do you have? Lots of pedophiles, lots of pleasure that are so vaping. But it's a very sad thing that they have done to several generations of people to make them believe in this ridiculous nonsense and then behave like a bunch of sheep putting on their masks.
But I think they really stepped it up.
People afraid to take them off. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm here, sorry.
So, Kelly, I agree with Karen about all this. I think they're really just trying to tear the society apart, you know. Simplistic way.
Well, and that's what I think needs to be called out here more. That's why I was saying in the beginning why I don't understand this. How many people at birth, is this really a natural birth defect? I would say it's because I'm going to go back to natural law. It's not natural to want to go and change oneself from one sex to another. That's just not natural. Natural law. Something else was going on that would trigger such a thing. The same is true to me when it comes to homosexuality. That is not natural law. That's not normal. So what got that person to that condition? Was it something that happened to them as a child, or were they indoctrinated or brainwashed, whatever you want to call it, through education to do this? What I mean, so I guess I'll put that question to both of you. do you really think this is natural, or is it all, or mental illness, or a birth defect? What causes this? Because it's not natural. It's not normal.
Yeah, well, I know plenty of gay people who can't even understand the transgender thing. You know, that's a whole other ball of wax. In fact, I think that is a mental disorder, you know, but anyway. But unfortunately, it's taken, it's in the limelight right now. And to Karen's point, it's probably even less than the 0.0005, you know.
Yeah.
So how they take the limelight is beyond me. Of course, that's all the doing of the media, which is controlled by the Marxists.
Their whole concept is to divide and conquer, and they will use any means and any mechanism and exploit any group of people in order to be able to make that happen. So holding that aside, they have taken a society of people. They have given them nothing other than emotion, 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 emotion. And everything that they are targeted for is the people, the graduates, becomes instant gratification. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But if I want it now, I want it now. I want to have it now. And it's very easy to program, once you get this triggering idea where I'm going to say something and that's going to trigger your action, which is what they have done. So they have created these trigger incidences where people, upon hearing certain things, will go and do certain things. And this is all part of that programming for people to commit and to become subservient and to become vegetables, listening that they can't act without their leader. And the government has taken over the role of being the leader. And I remember a story when I was teaching about the Constitution, and I was teaching a college class. And I was talking about our founders, and I asked the students, I said, okay, of the four gentlemen that I just spoke, which one did not become president? Well, that was, of course, Ben Franklin. And one of the students raised their hand, and she said, I don't know how to answer that question. So I said, okay, I know you were sitting here for the last 45 minutes. Who was I talking about and which one is not going to be a president? She says, no, you don't understand. In my class, my teacher gives me a choice of four, and you didn't do that. That's the programming of students. So they can't, there is no choice other than the choice of four that the government gives them. I mean, think about the people in California are now being told not to charge their electric cars as much because the power grid is falling apart. The stupidity of the people in California for even going there knowing that their electric grid was falling apart. Wouldn't you fix the electric grid first?
It's so scary. We don't educate anymore. We definitely don't educate. It's definitely a brainwashing indoctrination. It's so scary. And everything to do with this electric and the fossil fuel stuff we've talked about in the past. The dumbing down of Americans has been so successful. Americans don't even know how to think anymore. They can't connect the dots at all. And that's just another example of it. And you would think by now, no one's talking about the fact you don't have any plastic if you don't have any fossil fuels. And look at all your devices that have plastic. And people don't even understand any of that part. But that's another topic for another day. So the dumbing down.
Well, but, yeah.
Go ahead.
Unbelievable. Well, I was just going to say, you know, to what Karen was saying about choices, if you live in a communist country, when you go to vote for the premier or the president, you have three or four choices, but they're all communists. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, this thing with the fossil fuels, you know, when Biden, if you look, I actually looked at my credit card statements, and as of October, since October we've been paying over $3 a gallon for gas. So really for 6 months now, three, now we're up to four. But, you know, the thing is with these greenies, they shut down the pipelines and everything the first week that Biden was in office. The thing is we're still driving the same cars. So, and they're using gas, except we're getting it from overseas instead of getting it from here domestically. So they haven't really solved any problems. We're just paying more for it.
Yeah. Well,
I believe they're doing this on purpose because the fossil fuel industry is A, not owned by the government, and B, the prices of fossil fuel was too cheap. So in order to make the wind and solar more competitive, they had to trash the fossil fuel and make it more expensive. So then they can say, oh, well, see, what's the difference if you have wind and solar or fossil fuel? It's the same price.
Well, and this is the other thing. CNBC this week had an article where they were trying to justify electric vehicles versus gasoline-powered vehicles. They lump all the gasoline-powered vehicles into one class in their assumptions. Well, that would include trucks. What they should have done is compared the electric vehicles to similarly sized gasoline-powered cars, because most electric vehicles are cars. There's no trucks yet. So the whole comparison was skewed in favor of electric. But, you know, we all know that just because you're not burning the emissions at the site of the vehicle, when you're doing electric vehicles, the emissions are burned over at the power plant. It's still going up into the air, just a different location.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, it's the dumbing down of Americans. Has been
right. So what do they do?
It's not about... Yeah. Not about truth or fact. It's definitely not science.
So they're more interested in all this junk that you're talking about tonight, Sally, instead of teaching kids the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, and critical thinking. You got all this junk going on.
Exactly. All to control
They are following their leader, Lenin, who said, educated people require too much of their government, so therefore we should not educate people. So that's what they're doing. They are dumbing down the people on purpose. And they are doing this on purpose with the cars because they don't want you to drive. That's the bottom line. You're driving a dirty car. You're destroying their planet, and they don't want you to drive. And if you listen to Michael Bloomberg, that piece of garbage, his answer was, well, tank on public transportation. Oh, really? Well, they don't want you to live in rural areas because then they can't force you have to be able to drive. They don't want you to do that. So they'll just make the gas so expensive that you won't drive.
Right.
This is a
thing
that has been done before.
Control. They don't want people to they don't want freedom. They it's all about control. We know better. And I thought it was on Glenn Beck of BlackRock where he said we have to change their behavior. We are modifying. We have to change their behavior. And it's just so outrageous. And BlackRock, those that know the finance stuff going on, that's what we'll talk more about that next week. But the whole mentality is we have to change your behavior because we know what's best for you. I want to let you know, John, if you're out there, hold on. We'll get to you in just a minute because John's chiming in too. But I want to get back to one thing because I know, Karen, you're going to have to jump onto another call, I think it is, excuse me, here in a few minutes. But when it comes down to the thing with the Leah Thomas. Now, when it comes to that individual, that guy did not look anything feminine to me, even after probably having a certain amount of hormones or whatever else they do in this kind of stuff. Him standing there next to the young ladies who were also the swimmers. Now, what really was the thing going on with that guy? To me, that guy has some serious emotional problems. Does he have some kind of insecurity where he couldn't compete against the men, so he had to try to compete against the women? Was he trying to be in the limelight? I mean, any idea? What do you think is going on in the head of that individual? Because, I mean, you know, I just have a hard time thinking that he somehow really feels like a woman. and his body had not been modified to be as what they were discussing. So I don't know who wants to
I think
Karen,
you need a psychiatric. You need a psychiatric evaluation there, you know. But I think you're right. He couldn't compete with the boys. He develops the musculature, goes through puberty, and then decides to become a woman. So, you know, obviously he has all the musculature, and the women can't compete with him. But he needs a psychiatric evaluation if you want to know what's really going on, you know, so.
I think he was really smart, and he took up on the ability to feed into this and said, oh, I could compete against the women and win. So I think that maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I don't think it had to do with sex. I think it had to do with winning the swimming meet. And I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of years down the road, all of a sudden he says, oh, I want to be a man again. I would not be surprised then. But see, that's a tool that the kids learn to use and the teachers learn to use. So you can guide somebody into being a man or a woman, you can guide them into changing their sex when they are most vulnerable and having problems. And like Dr. Joe said, they need a good psych evaluation because that's what's really needed. They need to, you know, they need to be evaluated as to why they would think that they would want to be a man or a woman. But did somebody recommend it to them? Did somebody feed them that? Did somebody tell them that that's an okay thing to do when it's not an okay thing to do? Mutilating your body when you're a child is never an okay thing to do.
But we come back to the point that this is like 0.0005% of the population of what's going on. And you know what? I'm not going to, I'll let them make a living, let them do this and that. But why do we have to, why does the other 99% of our society have to kowtow to that? You know, I'm not going to discriminate against them and all that. You know, they're human beings. But we don't have to follow what they're doing. We can just leave them alone, and they should leave us alone.
Whoops, you're fading out there.
Okay. Well, anyway, Kelly, I have to jump off, but it was good talking to you, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Joe. And the last thing, and Karen, I know you're going to have to jump off here in a minute too, was with Walt Disney. What Walt Disney came up with in his vision for Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, and all this other stuff. Do you think he would support today's Mickey Mouse, or would he trade in Mickey Mouse for Mighty Mouse?
I think he would trade it in. I don't think he would be supporting what's going on. He was a communist also, but he was a pro-American communist, so it was kind of weird. And he wasn't crazy like these people are. He was a capitalist too. But I think he would be very upset at the turn that this has taken, and I hope that Disney miscalculated and the people of America do what we can do to save our country, which is to stop buying into this garbage and allowing it to happen. You spoke about Leah Thomas. Look at what Governor DeSantis did. Governor DeSantis said in a proclamation that in the scientific world, there is a man and a woman. And when you are born, you are one of those. And there is nothing that can change that. That is who you are. And therefore, in the woman's race, he only recognized the woman from Sarasota, and she came in second. He said, no, she came in first. She was competing against the man. I don't care what it is. He was not first. And he gave the award to her. So here is one person standing up. We have to do that. And we must vote in this primary election. That's the most important thing that we can do, is get these rhinos out. And if you live in a community where you have a bunch of people running for a seat and there is an incumbent, then go to the people that are running and ask them who wants to win, because having a bunch of them against one incumbent means that the incumbent will win. So maybe they should draw straws and come up with one person, and then you would be able to get rid of the incumbent. And that's what we have to do, because these are the rhinos that are forcing this upon us, Sally. These are the ones that are making these insane rules that I'm not going to follow.
Yeah, so the governor, I think they said the governor of Utah went out there and rejected or vetoed a bill that was going to say about the transgendering competing in the women's sports and stuff like that. And that was a Republican who did that. And so the Republicans, we got a lot of cleanup to do. But here in Florida, what's the last day for you to go make sure that you're registered to vote? If you're a no-party affiliate like I am, what's the last day you would have to go out there and change your party affiliation in order to participate in the primaries for those partisan races?
You would have until 1 month before the primary, which is the 23rd of August. So I would say don't wait later than till the end of June.
Okay. And then one last thing. Again, I know you're going to have to jump off here, but I want to go ahead and make sure people know this too. Now, with everything going on with Ukraine and Russia, okay, this is from the Moscow Times. Moscow Times. Russian lawmakers recently introduced legislation that will have major implications for the country's transgender population. If passed, the draft law, which also seeks to ban LGBT marriages and adoptions, will make it impossible for transgender people to change their gender on their official documents after they have transitioned. And I think that sounds an awful lot like some of the stuff that Trump was saying when it says not changing the official documents. You are what you are when you're born. If you want to go and modify your body, go and do it, but don't expect everybody else to change everything for you. And you are what you are.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. And don't expect everybody else to pay for it. That's the other
thing.
And that's what they want. Now, in the great state of California, you can have a free abortion. Isn't that wonderful?
Free abortion. And what is it, Citigroup
free abortion.
In the state of Texas? Yeah.
In Texas, the abortion was cut to 15 weeks, but in California, so everybody can go to California and get their free abortion. Isn't that exciting?
Well, and then Citigroup. It was something to do with Citigroup changed their employee policy. So if you work in Texas and you want to get an abortion, that they will cover you when you go to another state to get the abortion or something crazy like that.
Isn't that wonderful? This is just so terrific. Well, somebody made a funny story. Somebody made the mistake of calling my house on a robocall and asking about whether or not we were in favor of abortion. And Frank picked up the phone and he said, absolutely, I think every progressive should have one.
Maybe we're looking at this abortion thing the wrong way. What are the qualifications to get an abortion? That's what I think we have to discuss. That's crazy. It really is.
It is.
Thank
you.
Go ahead.
Very much, and I am going to have to leave. My show is The Prism of America's Education, and it is on every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 9 on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. And if you can't find it, just go to KarenShone.com and the information will be there. And
thank you so much.
And I have to find out. We are going to now have a discussion on what we can do about these criminals, how we can go about suing them and getting rid of these people who have done nothing other than harm for all of us.
Yes. Well, good luck on that. Let me know how that all goes and give us an update on that, maybe on another show kind of thing. And again, thank you for tuning in on this one. Next week is one of your favorite subjects, going into the ESG stuff and the digital currency. So maybe you can join next week.
I will see what I can do.
The new world order that Biden has
favorite announced. One. Yep. Okay, thank you. And have a wonderful show. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, now, John, are you still there? I see you're out there, John.
Yes.
And, okay. Well, you've been hearing some of this discussion. It's going in, and, you know, we've covered quite a few areas and, of course, got off a little bit on the fuel and the fossil fuel stuff because that's another – it's just all symbolic of the brainwashing and the dumbing down of Americans that we've done. And when it comes to this transgendering and the homosexuality, which is what it is, call it gay, whatever, homosexuality, how much of this is really – it's not what the way someone's born. It's the way that they are being brainwashed into, and as Karen was saying, guided. Because maybe the little girl wanted to play baseball one day, and all of a sudden this means she wants to be a boy, or the boy picked up the doll, and all of a sudden he wants to be a girl. What I mean, it's all so crazy. So, what are you thinking about this?
Well, that sounds like the protest that Disney has against the new law in Florida. Which protests
that's a total false narrative. The whole thing is what they're protesting isn't the bill. I said what they're protesting isn't the bill. It's a false narrative. It's when the whole purpose of why do you have to lie about it? I mean, that's my question to those who are protesting at Disney, is why would you have to lie about it? It's not about that. And I read it, and I'll read it one more time for anybody who didn't catch it in the beginning of the show here. This is what the bill really is. Classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. That's what the law is. It has absolutely nothing to do with homosexuality and banning gay people or anything crazy like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's all giving parents the right to control the education. The public education system doesn't want to teach a kid to read and write, critical thinking, arithmetic, science, and, you know, they doesn't want to teach that. If you teach the science about transgendering and homosexuality, if you teach the real science, it would be a whole different subject. But, of course, that isn't what they're teaching. It's all manipulation of the individual, which is what Dr. Joe was talking about earlier, how this all came in the 30s, when the communist takeover of America really started, in the 20s, 30s, is when the communist takeover of America really started. The Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, all that insanity. How you go and totally twist and manipulate a society so that you can take over that society. Your thoughts?
Pardon?
Your thoughts?
Oh, my thoughts? I want to know why a company like Disney would disagree with parents having parents' rights.
Yeah, well, and I think that's a very good question, and there's actually a couple of parts to go in there, because Disney is saying they're going to have more gay people in their shows, or they're going to – it's all – go back to what made Disney what it was. you know, Cinderella getting the prince and all this other stuff. All of that has to go away. We're not allowed to have that kind of thing. And what was Disney, the magic of Disney, why do they have to go and pervert such basic cartoons and animation and all this other stuff that has been the success, the foundation success of Disney for decades? So why do they somehow think it's now their role? Don't discriminate against anybody that's gay or whatever. Who cares? Or transgender, whatever. That shouldn't be a question at the gate. Are you a gay or homosexual person? Are you a transgender? That shouldn't be the question as you're walking through the gate. So it shouldn't make any difference to Disney what somebody is. If they have received such overwhelming requests to have homosexual movies all of a sudden or cartoons, then I would say, why is this really the case? What percentage of the people want to go and see some kind of cartoon about homosexuality? I don't know. Compared to what Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse have been all along. You know, I really truly don't believe Walt Disney would have ever wanted that. That isn't what Disney is. And I'll mention another thing, too. When it comes to Disney, and they're way too big for their own good. They interfere with local government and, of course, national government. But here, you know, in Florida, they're not pro-America. And Karen was kind of saying Walt Disney was somewhat of a communist himself, I guess, but he was obviously a very big capitalist. So we'd have to get into a deeper dive on some of the things with Walt Disney. But when you think about what the role of Walt Disney or Disney World is, Walt Disney World, some people don't remember this. A few years back, I know it because I'm in high tea, Disney decided that they were going to replace their American IT workers with cheap labor H-1B visas. And if the American didn't train their replacement foreign H-1B visa worker, they would not get their severance package. And this thing made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court sided with Disney, even though the whole reason they were bringing in the H-1B visas was to save money, which is illegal. You're not supposed to be bringing them in for that purpose. But they, a large group of Walt Disney American workers were replaced with H-1B visas. And it just shows you that they're not pro-American at all. And they do this with other stuff. You're there in Orlando. You know how they get involved with rail transit and this and that and whatever else and all these other things. They have way too much control over local government. So when people talk a lot about local government, the likes of a Walt Disney World, they're in there corrupting the local government too. It's really disgusting. But I stopped going to Disney years ago. And when the IT thing happened, when they said, well, it's more important for us to have H-1B visas and we just throw away the American worker because we don't care about them, I refuse to ever go to any of their parks. I do what I can to not support them, even though they're kind of all over the place. I definitely don't do anything that intentionally to help support Walt Disney World. And that's what people need to do on this. If you think this other stuff is so insane of what they're doing, what their role in transgendering and Gay Pride Week and all this other stuff, and you know, I would never say as being in a free society, if Walt Disney World wants to have Gay Pride Week, whatever, make sure you announce it to those who don't necessarily want to go for that. They want to go for what Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom, is supposed to be about. That's what their intention is, to go there. That's why they're taking their kids there. No, not taking their kids there for Gay Pride Week. And I've had people tell me that they didn't tell them in advance. They didn't let them know that was what was going on. They said, I'm not going there to see Gay Pride Week. I was going there to take in the theme park as what it was designed. And so they felt misled by Disney giving them that kind of garbage. So it's just I have a lot of bones to pick with Disney, I think. But this is what's happening across the board. This is why we have become a fascist society. Fascism, when the corporations and the government work together for some common good versus whatever the free society and the free market would really do. And we have this all over the place. What made Disney think that it was their role to go out there and say, you know, We don't like this either. And I guess haven't they tried to backpedal on this? I mean, and the other thing too, which other people may not know, and John, I'm sure you know this again because you're right there in Central Florida, that in the past, Disney actually stayed separated from this stuff. You cannot use a Disney image in any protest or any pictures or any whatever. They were used to be very, very strict on that stuff. And for those who don't even know, like when it comes to the dress code at Disney, there was a certain size earring a lady could wear, and that before they would not be allowed to do it. They had all sorts of rules and restrictions. But now they seem to have gone totally on the other side when it comes to this homosexuality and transgendering stuff, and are eager to go and promote themselves as a transgender-friendly park and gay pride and whatever. It just doesn't make sense. I don't understand why they take such a interest in this. I don't get it. So I don't know. What are you thinking on it, John? What am I missing here?
Well, first off, you have to decide, do you even want to participate now that Disney has taken the direction they've taken with their homosexual activism? Because they're employee group, anyone can see that it is largely homosexual, both in management and producing the entertainment, and it's been going that way for a while.
Okay, so you're saying the majority of people that work at Walt Disney are homosexuals or something? Is that what you're saying?
They're getting more every year.
Well, but it seems like if you glorify it, somehow make it the point, then I guess you would be attracting more of that if that's what the case is. And I guess
exactly. Now they're attacking it from the West Coast, which has always been a hotbed of weird sexuality compared to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And theirs obviously comes from starting out in the 30s and 40s. On the west coast of the United States.
Well, and you think of, we talked a little bit about the nominee Jackson for the Supreme Court. How this brainwashing and sexual confusion, whatever you want to call it, gender identity stuff that's going on, a person who is a judge today who wants to be on the Supreme Court, can't define what a woman is. I mean, this is how sick and perverted it's gotten. You mean to tell me we don't know the science of the difference of a man and a woman? And let's go back to the natural law I was talking about earlier. Did God create transgender? And had it not been for technology, not really science, but technology, to go out there and let somebody totally manipulate their body into something else? Whatever, you know, it's just kind of crazy to me.
Well,
so,
it's obvious to me that God created men and women. Democrats created transgendered people. That's strictly a figment of their, they have invented all that. And they're very good at inventing one crazy thing after another. And sexually, this is the latest crazy thing they've invented. And they do it just to aggravate normal people. That's the only reason they do it.
It's definitely a distraction.
But idiots that's winning swimming meets. He's doing it just to aggravate normal people.
Well, when it comes to that guy, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, it would be interesting to see. To me, if he's really going through some kind of therapy to change, he hasn't obviously changed his physical body, hasn't been changed, but if he's going through some other kind of chemical adjustment or whatever else, at some point when they're going to do this, don't they give somebody some kind of a psychic evaluation kind of thing? Let's go see what's going on in this person's head that they want to do this to begin with. And in this particular case with this guy, is it because he could no longer compete with the men? Apparently, when he first got into the swimming, he was a little bit more successful. But as he moved up through his education and his competitions, he was no longer able to win, or he was not as competitive against the men. So all of a sudden, well, maybe that's because if I compete against the women, I have a chance to win. So I can go over there on the other side. I'll compete against the women. I will win, and I will get this other attention, if you will, for being a transgender. And how wonderful it is that we let transgenders do this. And, you know, at some point we have to talk about the role of women's rights in here as to, you know, somebody was saying, it was on a show somewhere in the past couple of days, well, women are allowed to participate in men's sports. Like if a woman wants to go try out for an NBA team or whatever else, they could do that. The odds are very much against them because most women are not going to be able to compete with the men for the physical limitations. So there was that out there. And you could even take this out to the
service. Let's just simplify that statement. We can simplify all these different types of explanations and statements and just say this. Men carry testosterone, which is in itself a sexual advantage. Men can compete against women because they have much higher levels of testosterone in their bodies normally, and that's known as a sexually enhancing substance. By nature, men are just bigger, stronger, faster. That's what happens when one person has greatly elevated levels
it goes back to natural law. What was the role of the man versus the woman, which comes into a lot to do with women's rights and stuff like that. But there's people out there saying that they're going to have men have the right to have abortions. Since when do men get pregnant now? Or are we going to say, okay, this is some transgendering, so now you're actually a woman, but you're transgendering.
That's a good example of the craziness. of the craziness of the left.
Yeah.
It's always going to be something. They do this just to be a problem to us, to normal people, to normal society. They get a great charge out of it. Look how we can upset the normal by doing this.
Exactly. And the whole goal, and it just goes back to what the real truth is about the Democrat Party, which nobody wants to talk about. It's the Democrat Party is the one that's the Marxist, who actually discriminates against others more than anyone else. But they use it all as a weapon against the natural law in the truth of what's going on and how it has totally manipulated the conversation. We're not talking about the things we should be talking about, like what really happened with COVID and how many people are dying of COVID and everything else and fentanyl and all this other stuff. when I, and the ones who are dying from the vaccine, not from the COVID itself. So they it's all a manipulation of the facts and trying to control the to take over the society. I mean, it's all part of this massive plan, the Solinsky's Rules for Radicals, how to transform a society, how to convert a society. And we are so close to the breaking point of this country falling. And, I mean, we have a guy like Biden running the show. And, you know, here we're taught the perversion of using public education to brainwash and affect these kids this way. It's just sick. It's absolutely sick. And the Disney should not
well,
have
that's
any...
Well, what CRT is all about.
Well,
CRT
yeah,
is specifically to brainwash and destroy normalcy.
Exactly.
It's to convince normal human children that they have a problem and
well,
make them feel completely abnormal and unnormal.
Exactly.
When they are
totally
not.
Inadequate and like an outcast. And
yeah.
Which kind of goes back to what Karen was saying in the very beginning. How does this all happen? And it's like, okay, well, Susie is there and she's watching the boys play whatever they may be playing or whatever else. And she's watching that. And then the teacher somehow says, are you okay? Or what's going on? And so because she may have wanted to play baseball or whatever the boys may have been playing, all of a sudden this thing's, well, you know, maybe you really want to be a boy. Somehow this, and it's something so simple. It's absolutely, but they use the slightest opening to try to take over. And then, of course, just the most basic, and I mean, this has been really bad out in California, teaching the sex ed, giving condoms to kids in grade school and putting condoms on bananas and all this other stuff. Yet we can't teach a kid to read and write and arithmetic and science. We can't teach those things. We can't teach civics, can't teach any of that stuff. But we can teach them how to put a condom on a banana. There's something just totally sick here. And what is the ultimate goal, which is the total destruction of the culture and the society? But and who would want to do that? Well, you'd have your communists out there who are trying to do this. And the sad part is they're being extremely effective because the typical American just kind of sits there and says, well, what can you say? Yeah, transgenders have the right. This is about children. Where do all the transgenders come from? Where do all the homosexuals come from? And this is why I keep asking the question, and I said at the very beginning, I really, as an adult, I don't care how you lead your sex life. As an adult, if you want to go get all sorts of surgery, whatever, don't expect everybody else to change because that's what you choose to do. But I, at the same time, I openly admit I don't understand what would make someone want to go and change from being a man to a woman. What happened in their life that caused them all this chaos and confusion? Like, is it sexual confusion? Is it an identity crisis? Is there really something physiological going on here? I don't think most of it's physiological. I mean, most of it is mental or emotional, where they've been totally convinced that, well, the only way you can be successful in this world is if you're a man and you do this. Or it's like, well, I can't be successful in this industry unless I'm a woman. Whatever. I can't win the swimming race against the men. Even though I'm a man, I'm not good enough to win against those men. However, I could win against the women. So it's really so bizarre as to what is really going on in people's heads. And I don't understand how things get so out of control and the total brainwashing and manipulation of a culture. And how? What part, you know, you go into the role of the church, the role of the family. What has happened to all these other things where we now let government totally brainwash and indoctrinate the children? Which, now this has been going on, what is this, two generations, three generations that we've been doing this now? And the heads of these people, these younger people, is all screwed up. No wonder why they can't understand what fossil fuel is. No wonder why they can't understand that you don't, plugging in a car to an outlet isn't where the fuel really comes from, but you still have to create the electricity. They don't understand any of that. They don't understand the plastic from the fossil fuel and all this other stuff. They don't understand the real world, but they're over here totally confused by their sexuality and don't seem to know where babies come from. It's insane. And all of a sudden, men are going to be pregnant. Men need the right to have abortions. It's insane. I see some other callers out there. If you want to join the discussion, just press 1 and you can get in, join in. It's so bizarre. And think about how all this means, and I guess I should, for those listening or watching on the internet, whatever, 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364. And again, make sure you press 1 if you want to speak on the air. That way I know you're not just listening, but you want to join the conversation. But it comes how this is totally destroying this society, this culture. The United States of America is on the brink of collapse, as it is for many reasons, much of it to do with the fiscal policies. And what's going on over in the Ukraine is not helping. The New World Order routine. And, again, it was BlackRock, they're the financial group. BlackRock was out there saying they have to change the way people behave. So BlackRock thinks it's their job to manipulate and do different things to control the way people behave. And you think about that, then you go back to everything to do with COVID. COVID was the massive test of how we can manipulate the way people behave. And it had nothing to do with science, absolutely nothing. It had everything to do with an election. And I challenge anybody, I see the other caller, and I think it might be, let's see. I don't want to say the wrong name, so I'll be right with you there. To think of how, this is all happening at the destruction of this country, the fall of America, because we've allowed the same thing that makes you strong will also make you weak. We have a free and open society, which has made us very strong. However, we've allowed that free society to be overtaken by some very perverted actions and people with false motives or evil motives who are putting our whole country at risk. And you just see it all over the place there. Let me go ahead and get the caller. Is this John? I'm thinking this is another John.
Ed. This is Ed, Ty Fidelis' friend.
Hey, Ted, how you doing?
All right, this is Ed. Okay, basically, America is at a crossroads. You have to realize we have to look to each other. Okay, I'm sorry. We got to realize that we got to look to each other and start building communities because D.C. is beyond repair. It's been beyond repair for a long time. Maybe we might have had a chance in the 30s or 40s. And it's really, since Eisenhower said it best, beware the military-industrial complex. But really, it's not the military-industrial complex. It's a corporate fascist complex. And the corporate fascist complex, and you've seen it right there. You were talking about Minnie Mouse, and you got to realize that Disney is part of the corporate fascists, and they want a new world order. They want the globalists to take over.
Very sad state of affairs. And what do you think Walt Disney would say today? Do you think this was his mindset at all? What do you think he would think of his Magic Kingdom today?
I don't know where Walt would be. I mean, basically, I'm not so scared about the perversion as much as I am of the anti-speech people, and you can't speak out against us, and you can't come out against us. Then it starts getting like putting that there in Russia. That bothers me more than, the artists. There's a lot of artists are a little bit on the LGBT side, and I'm not, who knows what Walt was. Maybe he wasn't, but maybe he was, And I'm sure he wouldn't be as anti. I'm not so much anti against the people, more against the centralized government that's built this deep state that's so deep and so expensive and so ugly that, you know, it's worse than, and you know, it's really just another, it's like it guards the corporate fascists. It's their guarding angels. And it's like, that's why they're, you know, they're coming down hard on the people from January 6th. I mean, hey, these people need to be put away. You know, we can't have anybody come. It's just like putting people away. You know, puts people away. Hey, you can't speak out against it. This is my territory. I'm taking it over. You know, hey, this is our territory. We're taking it over. You can't come out and speak out against it. And the corporate fascists are pretty strong. It's going to be a tough battle against corporate fascists. And you got to realize the corporate fascists own D.C. We have the best government money can buy. Corporate fascists own our money supply. We are the money supply for the world. It is our number one export, and we keep printing more and more and more. Someday it's going to come home to roost.
Well, and it looks like it when it comes to the monetary stuff, which, again, I had told people last week we were going to talk about that ESG stuff and the monetary stuff this week, but we're going to get into it next week because it's getting closer and closer. I mean, first off, when it comes to all these various human behavior, how they keep twisting and trying to manipulate human behavior, we want to ban the church. However, we want to promote this gay, transgender lifestyle. And I go back.
Well, they don't want to ban the church.
They do. They shut down the churches. The churches were not considered essential during
the churches, right? Well, the churches that don't agree with them. You know, like I was just reading up here. I live up in Lake County. I was just reading our Free Love County news there. You know, and they have all the advertisers for the different Christian denominations and. Here in Lake County, we have the Universalist Church, LGBT members welcome. We're open to all ideas and all religions. You've heard of the Universalist Church, haven't you? And, you know, I mean, it's a takeover. And they're moving in that direction. They want to make all religions, you know, the coexist. You've seen coexist bumper stickers with all the religious symbols. And it's just basically they want to homogenize it all. You know,
we've manipulated religion in the United States so much in the tax status and all this other stuff, and that religion, that they don't have a place to speak up on some of these things. So, I mean, personally, I think the churches have failed America in many respects, that they didn't play their role in a moral society, the whole reason why we have religion to begin with. So I guess I want to stress too that these various things that happen in reference to human behavior, the sexuality, and the other craziness of what the transgendering, homosexuality, the what was the other thing they were just trying, and you could even go to the January 6th thing, the brainwashing and manipulating of human behavior is all serving one purpose, which is the destruction of the country.
Yeah, I mean, it can lead to the destruction of the country because if you don't have people that understand what liberty is, then if you don't understand liberty, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's basically where we're headed. We're falling for anything they tell us.
Yeah, and this is where... Well, the breakdown of the family, which I think is a big part of this. Somehow we came to this point to say, well, we've got public education, so we're going to outsource educating our children. And having kids go to school isn't the problem, but the family should not have totally outsourced education. And that's the only, if you want to call the silver lining of COVID, well, one of the biggest, I'll say, the major key silver lining of COVID is that it all of a sudden made parents aware of what was going on in their children's lives, that they themselves did not understand what was being done at the schools. So, that's a sign, too. Why did we get there? Which, the role confusion. What is the role of a mother and a father? Can two men or two women properly raise a child in that homosexual environment versus the normal and natural law of a father and a mother? Now you can't say father. You're not supposed to say mother or father. That's all going away. It's all insane.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on, but I still think at the same time there's a lot of pushback against it also, and you can't get too negative about it. You got to keep a positive attitude. I really do think that the revival is coming. I mean, there's a lot of true Christians out there that are pushing back, and, you know, and what we need to do is not focus on trying to change that. Because you can't change it. You're not going to vote your way out of this. I keep telling you, it's too much of a mess. It's been that way since the Civil War, and especially since the 20s and 30s when they centralized the banking systems. But you're not going to change them. But you can change your community. You can get people, more children, Christian churches. You can try to get true Christian churches to open up and give more free education for poor people, and say, no, we're not even going to join your 501c club. We're doing this just straight on our own.
And
that's what we need to do. And the churches should be open. The churches should be educating anybody who wants that free education for any child. And we should bypass the state. You know, in the libertarian world, we have a word for that. It's called ageism, and there's a lot of that going on, especially in like Tennessee and South Carolina, North Carolina and South. And ageism is basically a secondary economy. It ignores the primary economy. It says, no, you must be what Biden says or what Putin says. Well, in Russia, they have people that are not listening to Putin and trading on their own. And here in the United States, we have the same thing. I mean, you might want to worship man, and you might want to worship Biden or Putin, but really Biden and Putin aren't the answers. The answers come through, you know, the Bible and getting back and trading and taking care of each other on the community level.
Well, yeah, we need to get back of what the core root of the American foundation was, what we were when we started this country. And, I mean, there's a certain amount of evilness. There's evil elements of people no matter what, in any time and whatever else.
Our founders weren't all, believe me, I studied the founders, you know, they live in me, man. I tell you a lot about it, a lot of people what you want to know about it. But it's just, they had their problems too. And there was a lot of bad going on back then too. So, I mean, it's, the world's not perfect for fallen humans. That's why the best thing to do, but the bright spot of the founding age was that any town, any community you went to, the first thing they built was churches. And there were churches throughout the land, and people went there. Not that all the people that served in government were right, because a lot of them were bad. You know, you're always going to have bad in government. You know, that's why, you know, Washington said, you know, government is that eloquent. It's not reason, it's for, like, fire, danger, servant, or fearful master. You know, and there's only two things going to be, dangerous servants or fearful masters. And what do dangerous servants like Biden want to become? Fearful masters. So, you know, we're always going to be teetering on the edge with government. But when you get a community, that's a whole different thing. Now we can move away and just kind of have, you know, less government, more community. That's what we need, less government and more community.
Absolutely. And the thing is, we need to update the educational system to make that truly happen. That, and there's where this,
well, the best way to update it,
has,
you know,
go ahead.
The best way to update the educational system, and I was a big playback, was during the 80s when we were doing away with forced truancy, where they came and put your kids in the police car and took them to school and maybe took you away and stuff. You know, it is to allow choice in education, and especially allow your parents and encourage parents to choose alternative education systems, whether you want to educate them yourself, which we allow, you know, we fought to have that right to self-education, or Christian education. And again, our best battle would be to try to get the churches back in their proper perspective, because the churches were really doing what Jesus wanted them to, what he wanted to do in the Sermon on the Mount. They would open up their doors to all children that wanted a free Christian education. And there's enough money and enough buildings and enough people in those churches. And they're the ones that really need to open up. And that's why I say we need a revival. If we can get that revival going, it would be better.
And, you know, I wish I had more time, because I do have to work full time. And I try to get engaged in as much local. But what I've tried to figure out what we have to do to reset the churches, to get them back into that role, because the churches have been a disappointment. And I think they've been part of the problem. They were so afraid of their tax status, which should have never been a thing. They're so afraid they're going to they say this or they can say that. So, I mean, if I had time, if the time was no object,
yes,
and I could do anything, I would want to reach out to the local churches in my area and say, I'd obviously need to go to their services, each one a little bit, to see what they were doing. But I'd get more engaged and say, well, what are you doing to promote Christianity, or, you know, whatever the religion may be, God, whatever, in this society? What are you doing to improve our society and improve moral values and teaching the words of God, the gospel, biblical stuff? What are you doing to change that? And if you're not doing enough, here you need to be doing more. Why are you not doing more to do this? And, I mean, I've been to different events where there was a church group that was there, and I would ask them some basic question about some kind of public policy that was going on, and all of a sudden they couldn't talk about it. And I said, I don't understand. Why can't you talk about it? Is God's work is to not discuss this? I don't get it. So, I mean, we have to re-educate the churches to some degree. Would you? I think you would agree with that.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I mean, the 501c is the biggest one. I mean, if true Christian churches should not even be, to me, should not have to file 501c. It should be part of the 501c. But it's all done, you know, under the auspice of, oh, yeah, you're going to be able to write off your taxes, da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it's the state that's kind of has their hand over the church. And that's what's, you know, I'm totally anti-501c. But, you know, I do, because my wife likes, I do go to a church. It's 501c. You know what I mean? And we do outreaches, and we do food drives, we do give money to missionaries in Africa and things here and there, whatever. And, you know, we try to do some community work. But it's still not what I would prefer. But, you know, it is, like you said, you know, we're getting up in age, and it's hard to get out there, do everything, you know, and still pay your bills and live your life. You know, but I think we do need a great awakening in our churches again and say, wait, throwing off the yoke of Caesar, we're moving back towards Christ. And so they do this, well, now let's teach, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, let's all start sharing our food, let's all start doing what the early Christians did. We might be going back to that, you think, because the way the world is going.
Well, and I hope so. John, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I hadn't really given you much of a chance to say anything, but you're more than welcome to chime in on some of this discussion.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have something that's worth talking about, because it's going to be when summer hits. It's going to be a major deal on the West Coast. Oh. And that is there's been a radical change on the way the West Coast is able to get water.
Okay. Well, I understand that part, and I to be honest with you, I don't want to get into the water discussion today, because we're going to actually do it. We'll have a show on that too. Natural resources. When we talk about the fossil fuels and stuff again, we got to go into that because I mean we're having the same that the water management, which for those and don't know me, a while back in Orange County, Florida, I was on the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. And what we do when it comes to managing and the water resources is insane. It truly is a whole other topic, but it's totally off of topic for tonight, John. So if we can hold that one for another show, we can definitely take a deeper dive into it. In Orange County, which I recently moved out of Orange County, Florida, their reckless growth management, like reckless mismanagement, they keep trying to bring more and more people into the area, which, of course, is the Disney World and all the other stuff there. They're overbuilding it to a point where they don't have enough clean water. They don't have water to supply the people there, and they're also causing flooding in the area because they think they can build on the swamps. They go out there and mitigate the swamps. They call them wetlands, but swamps, and this kind of stuff. So the what we're doing with resources, if the people who claim to care about the environment, who are all worried about fossil fuels, if they really cared about the environment, they would worry more about what's happening to the water resources that people need to live versus their insanity of what they're trying to do with the fossil fuel stuff. So, I understand what you're saying, John, and you and I have talked about that in the past. So let's hold that off for a specific show to talk about that. And tonight we're talking more about what's going on with this changing culture of the brainwashing of individuals and how it's impacting us all across. And how this when we come back to the history of how this all happened, what was the role of the women's movement in there too? And it's, to me, it's one of the, trickiest questions or most confusing in a sense because, well, should women have had the right to vote? Well, of course, I'm going to say yes. Women had the right to vote. And should a woman get paid the same same amount of money that for doing the same job as a man? Is it, you know, so there's all these different things that came along with the women's rights, which all I think was all part of the same thing of how we manipulated society. But it, all of a sudden, while we're going down that path, then you get into all this other stuff. So did women lose the idea of what their primary role in the family was? Is this why we don't seem to know? Is this what caused confusion as to who has the baby? We don't seem to know where babies come from these days. We can't. We're willing to teach, again, the crazy science of how to put a condom on a banana, but no, humans don't seem to know where babies come from. It's all kind of bizarre to me. But in the grand scheme of things of how the culture of the society has changed, how much of that was part of the woman's movement, and what I don't think a husband ever has the right to beat the wife. I mean, you know, there's things like that that were really happening, but we went to such an extreme to overcompensate, if you will. We seem to have totally lost the point. So what is the role of the man and the woman in the family? And how does that cause all this other, how much sexual confusion do we have out there that we don't seem to understand? And I think it's kind of interesting that many corporations have, they call it paternity leave, not maternity leave. A woman has maternity leave for having a baby, but now the father, the man, has paternity leave. Is it really necessary, and this is all for equal rights, something doesn't make sense there. Why do we have paternity leave for the father when the wife gives birth? So can anybody explain that to me? I don't know if, John, if you want to chime in on that or we'll go to Ed.
What is the question? Why does maternity leave exist?
Well, maternity leave exists for a woman having a baby. Yes, it's. I don't consider pregnancy a medical event, but it does get treated that way. So that's the maternity leave. Why do the men have to have a equal paternity leave for when the wife has the baby? I mean, are men getting pregnant and having babies now, so they need time off? It's kind of crazy.
Well, that's a good question. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know men were getting paternity leave.
Yep, they do. Yep. Okay, Ed,
I have a nephew. His wife is in the military. They were both in the military, but he stayed home and started taking care of the kids. Well, she's on her fourth, fifth kid now. But he's the one that did, at first, well, now he's not even in the service, but he's the one that took the maternity leave. And, you know, that's just the way we are. I mean, because guys do take care of the children, and they have baby formula. And, you know, if they're going to take care of it, I mean, I can understand that one. That one ain't so far-fetched, but I don't really think that, you know, that the government should have been involved, but maybe on a military aspect, you know, but, you know, the government shouldn't be involved in these kind of situations. That should be up to the family. And it gets back to it, you know, most of the countries out there are authoritarianist. We were founded on unalienable rights and liberty, which is defined. And it gets back to the fact that, you know, when we start moving away from that unalienable rights, then that's where we have our problems, you know. And I'm not, you know, it's like when you look at it, it was, as an anti-federalist, I kind of more for states' rights and more for county rights and more for decentralization. And then that way you can have your power. But the problem with the general government and the nationalists is they took the power and centralized it. And that's where the problems come in, because they want to control everybody throughout the country. They're not going to give us different positions. They want to take all the positions and say, you must do as we say. I'm Biden, and you see what's going on. And, you know, lady, when I look back at it, yeah, I don't, the Constitution, I know pretty good. I don't really like 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th Amendments. I can argue against them all pretty good. The 19th Amendment, the right to let women vote. Well, they had the right to vote in states as early as right after the Civil War. When I think in California, maybe even before the Civil War. So there were Western states allowed women to vote. You know, and voting isn't what liberty's about anyways. Voting's just kind of putting somebody up there to help your local area and your state, you know, and to, you know, to have it kind of oversee the jury. But still, really, when it comes down to it, all laws go to, you always, you know, you can't go to jail or have to pay money, technically, under unalienable rights without a trial by jury, which is another thing, you know, that people don't understand. That's why I was telling you to look at Lysander Spooner. There's even Lysander Spooner University. But, you know, he had a lot of problems with the Constitution, too, because we don't follow it. That's the big problem with it. We don't follow it. And, you know, it's like,
well,
the vote, we're not going to vote away. You can't vote for liberty. Liberty has to be defined. That's the main thing you got to realize. You can't, you know, you go to Kim Jong-un in North Korea, and they have elections, and guess what? 99.5% vote for him, because the other 5% you never hear from again. 0.5% you never hear from again. So it's not, you know, if you get the fear in, that's why.
Well, I mean, we could just stop voting and just throw it up in the air and see what lands. I mean, you know, I don't think we should have to be satisfied with corrupt elections. And it all comes back to that, the core values of what has happened to the society when it comes to what we believe. The core moral values of the society have gone to, that it's okay for Hillary Clinton to go out there and totally manipulate an election, which I personally, while I can't prove it in a court of law, I don't have the laptop computer or anything crazy like that, but I'm hearing some noise in the background there. But 2016, the system was rigged. The system has been rigged for a long time, especially when they brought in the electronic voting machines. And anybody that works in IT, and even though, I mean, you don't really have to work in IT to figure this out, it doesn't take much to go out there and manipulate the system in many ways. You must have many adequate checks and balances. And we, the people, have the right to witness the counting of the votes. They don't let that happen either, because I tried to do it. So we violate the most basic rights, that type of thing. But Hillary Clinton, they manipulated the 2016 election. That's why she was so adamant that she won. Wait a minute, how could I have lost? Of course, she never openly said, well, we rigged the system, so we know we won. So that was what really happened, in my own personal opinion, based on everything we saw in 2020. It all goes back to that. They had the formula in there, the logarithms out there to have her win by just enough to not be suspicious, but do the job. But, however, they never really realized the total popularity of Trump. They never thought Trump could get so many votes. They never anticipated that at all. So their formula was messed up, was inadequate. So 2020, they were going to do the same thing, only they were tweaking it to make it a little bit more aggressive in it. And it wasn't working there either. It was failing there, even with the various games they played with the ballots. On the night of the election, it wasn't working there either. And that's why we're at some point, I can't remember the time, I know other people actually, I think, took the screenshot of the count of the votes for Trump. He had, 100,000 votes, whatever it may have been, and Biden has less. And then the next thing you know, it's reversed. Biden has more. And Trump has left. Well, you in an election, you would never lose votes. You may not get more, but you wouldn't lose votes. How can you have had 100,000 votes 1 minute and be down to 50,000 votes the next minute? And that was the stuff that was going on there, too. So it all depends, I guess, on what you think elections are. Is it okay to allow the – do we have a right to elect people that run the government? That's what – ultimately, are we supposed to have the right to elect those who are supposed to represent us? Excuse me. Are we supposed to be able to do that? And if we say yes, then we have to make it where it's ethical, and yet where we actually get to elect who we want. So if we want to talk about how they have elections over in communist China and Russia and whatever else, even probably Canada when it comes down to it, then we don't really have elections. We don't have the right to elect people because the system's rigged, and so we're going to get whoever they decide. There's something wrong there. That's if you believe we have the right to vote. Do you believe we have the right to elect the people that are supposed to lead our government? We the sovereign. We are the government. These are people who are supposed to work on our behalf. Do we have that right, or are we truly just a fallen dictatorship, and whoever the king is who the king is? And the elections are just a game to play to appease us.
Yeah, well, I think it needs a lot of improvement. Hey, I'm like I was telling you, I'm not really for. I think Americans suffer from executiveitis. I'm not for a singular executive representative. I think we should have regional representatives. That's what Mason wanted during the Constitutional Convention. So that I would say that, but that's the only one we have on a national level. That's the only national thing. So if we can get by that and make it more regional, we can do a lot of corruption and just say, hey, this region I don't feel is working right, or this state's not working right, or this county's not working right, and then you can flee. They're fleeing California like crazy. And you're saying, hey, and then California said, why is everybody leaving? Because you're corrupt. We want to go to a state that's less corrupt. And that's where you have, that's the beauty of the United States. We decentralize our power through the states. It used to be United States, a small U and a big S before the Civil War. The states have more rights than any federal government. Now the federal government is kind of taking over, and America only sees one election, the executiveitis election. We need to move beyond that. But it's kind of hard to get people to move beyond that because that's what they've been brainwashing.
Well, yeah, and that's the absolute truth. We don't teach. We don't really teach the Constitution. We don't teach government. We don't. How many people have no clue what the Tenth Amendment is? So, and that's the whole idea.
Or what the amendments are to begin with.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ask them what the Bill of Rights is, and they can't answer. Now, again, we go into all this other perverted stuff they're teaching them, but they can't teach them the most basics. So we've totally sold the next couple of generations up the creek unless we figure some way to really, really turn this around. And I don't know that it's gone so far. It takes a lot of will and a lot of people to get engaged to right the ship. Evil will flourish while good people sit on their dead rear ends doing nothing. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. People
and if they're sitting on the rear end and doing nothing, they're not really good people. Good people should get out and do something. And, you know, I'm working with the church in a good way. And changing the churches. Like I said, we should have instead of 85% of the children in public schools, 85% of the people should be in free Christians in this country. There's enough churches. You look around, these churches sit empty almost 90%, 95% of the time. They can be filled with children learning about truth, learning about liberty, learning about Jesus.
Well, and I guess let me ask you the question. One, in trying to restore the role of the church and to get them back, what is it? I mean, obviously you work with your own local church and stuff, but what do you do to try to clean up the rest of the churches, if you will, whatever, how you want to say it? You know, like I said, if I had the time, I would go to the various churches and say, what are you doing here? How could you be more effective in strengthening our community, saving our country, getting back to these core values and this type of thing, to see what they would do? I don't know whether that would do me any good. I don't know. But I'm like, what else do you do to restore what the church is? Because right now the church just isn't doing its job. The majority, I will say the majority, as my opinion, of churches are not doing
well. I understand what you're saying there, but even doing your show, hopefully somebody's out there listening. Hopefully somebody's in their church or maybe a pastor or somebody and say, hey, yeah, we need to start bringing in more children for education. We need to start promoting education through the church. We need to start standing up for the principles that Christ taught about. We need to move away from Caesar and move towards love and understanding our neighbors.
Well,
and you're doing it, and, you know, I'm speaking, I go on a lot of different shows and speak the same thing. You know, I try to tell people in church, but, you know, it is a hard thing to do. And, you know, we're at the age where we don't have the energy we used to have, you know, and it's just, you hope that, you know, we can just keep on talking and reaching out. And hopefully someday it'll get there.
Well, I think we do need the revival. I totally agree that we need the revival. We need to get back to the core beliefs. And I think I mentioned it last week on the show. It's like Reagan saying, when we are no longer one nation under God, we are a nation gone under. And I think that's where we're at the brink right now. Because as a whole, are we still one nation under God? I've asked the question to others. Does God still bless America? And I said, because I'm looking around, and what are we doing that God would bless America? Because I think we've turned our back on God in so many respects. So is God listening to the majority, I think, of us? I still think the majority of Americans are Christians. However, we're not doing our job either. We're failing. The church has failed us, and we're failing our communities and our society. So does God still bless the United States of America? Are we still one nation under God?
We need to keep praying for that. And there are still a lot of people out there trying to change the abortion laws, trying to get states' rights back, trying to, you know, get down and, you know, and educate their children and homeschool their children and Christian educate their children. And, you know, you guys look at the positive. You can't just focus on the negative.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that I started doing a couple of years back, you know, you go in Florida, usually a public supermarket that does this more than probably any other, where they have the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts out front selling cookies or raising money for something, or it may even be a school basketball team or sports or whatever. It could be whatever type of things that they let them raise money in front of public supermarkets. And what I have started doing there, before I will donate any money, I will either have a kid say the Pledge of Allegiance, and sometimes they kind of look, they are, I guess, embarrassed, whatever. So there's nothing wrong with saying it. Do you know it? If you don't know it, we have another problem. And then they'll say it, and then I'll donate the money. Or what I've done recently is I was actually, again, with Publix because they have these recycle bins. I was bringing plastics into plastic bottles to recycle them at the bin. And there was a group of kids there. And these kids are probably 10, 11 years old, whatever. And I'm showing them that one of them was actually helping me put the plastic bottles into the bin. And I said, do you know where plastic bottles come from? And the girl said, no. I said, they come from fossil fuels. You know what fossil fuels are? The same thing that makes gas for your car also makes this plastic. So I didn't go and try to give her any lecture on the politics going on. I just tried to plant the seed that maybe she'll take that home to her parents or even to school thing. Is it true that plastic bottles are made from fossil fuels? And it's true. And this is the theory of when it comes to education, the dumbing down of people. How many, if you totally do without the fossil fuels like Biden and company want to do, how much you will not have in your house? Go through everything that's got any kind of plastic, and not just plastic, but all the different things that you won't have when you no longer use fossil fuels for anything. But most people have no clue of that. And we have a media. The media is so disgusting. What do we do to right the ship of this media? I mean, the Internet has given us some options, which I think is why we're even still in the discussion. Had we not had the Internet, that gives us some other options, even though Google and Big Tech go out there and get in the way at times, we have actually been able to expand communication much more than what it was just a few years back when you really were pretty much stuck with mainstream and some cable news, and that was primarily in newspapers. Well, you know, that was it. So I think we need to expand on that communication there. And when you have the chance, this basic stuff that we know kids are not being taught, and doing it in a friendly way and just, hey, did you know this? Whatever. I don't know. I'm hoping that'll help. I'm hoping to plant some seeds out there to ask the question and change stuff, because in all likelihood, the child's parents weren't thinking about the fact that cell phone they have that has how much plastic in it and all the other gadgets that are in it. You get rid of all the fossil fuels, are you going to be able to have a cell phone? Are you going to be able to have a car? What is that bumper on that car made out of? You're not going to have it. So I don't know. That's kind of one thing that I do to try to educate. That the whole key is educating. Karen is the master of talking about education.
People aware. But, you know, that's a corporate fascism attacking America because they want us to move in a different direction that they want to control. You know, they don't want it that we can make our own gas and our own fuel here right in our own country, that we can produce everything here. They want to control the global world. They're the globalists. And here's the thing. We have authoritarians in Russia. Kim Jong-un's throwing bombs off. China's enslaving people. Africa's a mess in enslaving people. The Middle East. Where do you want to live? I mean, the majority of the people don't realize how good we have here. We're spoiled little brats. Most of the people that are under authoritarianism, half the population, 4 billion, 4.5 billion, don't have running water and electricity. But just 100 years ago, less than 10% of the people had running water and electricity. So it's something kind of new. You know, when you take all that energy and stuff, but the people that want to control the world, they want to get rid of a lot of it too. They just say there's just too many people and blow them up. And they are. They are. And, you know, well, I think WW3 and Armageddon is upon us.
How familiar are you with Agenda 21, Agenda 2030?
Here's what I call that. And I tell people about global warming and all that. basically. You know, I mean, I've been with the Birch. I've been with every kind of political organization. And I call them the United Nutheads. That's what I'm just saying. Well, who do you want to live under, Kim Jong-un? Or do you want to vote for Putin? Or do you want to vote the premier in there? Because if you don't vote for them, you're going to be in a concentration camp. Or do you want to, escape into Afghanistan and walk behind your husband and not show your face in public? I mean, you know, regardless of what the UN's telling you, they're all agendas from the United Nutheads. Quack. None of them are good. We shouldn't even be in the UN. I mean, that's been a big thing about the workers from back in the 60s and 70s. Get us out of the UN. I passed out, I can't even count out and get us out of the UN stickers. But when you're talking the UN, you're talking about the United Nutheads.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other... People need to know.
If you think the UN is going to save us, you might as well say, yes, climate change is going to kill us tomorrow.
It's more like the UN is going to kill us tomorrow, not the climate change kind of stuff. But it's just insane, and then
we fund that. We're the biggest funder of that organization. And in New York City, they have a gun with a twisted-up barrel in front of their building. How disgusting. Our founders would have despised, Washington would have despised it. They was, not far from the first battlefield, they got chased out from the British. You know, it's just crazy what they got going on.
Well, it truly is. And kind of going back to the beginning of the show here, this mentality, we seem to be run by a bunch of Mickey Mouses instead of the Mighty Mouses. We've got a bunch of wimpy people who aren't getting anything done, and we need some Mighty Mouse. It's kind of funny. I remember as a kid, I'm dating myself here, but I remember as a kid, I watched Mighty Mouse all the time. I really watched. I couldn't have cared less about Mickey Mouse, even though I was born and raised in Orlando. So Mickey Mouse just wasn't that big of a deal to me. So it was Mighty Mouse, because Mighty Mouse was there to save the day. Mighty Mouse was doing the best to protect us and save us.
I like Mighty Mouse. The only one I liked better than Mighty Mouse was Quick Draw. He's pretty cool.
Quick Draw, yep.
But those are the good old days.
You're not. I think when it comes to Minnie Mouse, I think they're going to probably make her take her eyelashes off or whatever else. I mean, they've gone out there playing. They played the games with the M&M characters that they had, changing, trying to make them transgender. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, you know, the funniest thing, we're talking about Mickey Mouse and stuff like that. You know, I became an activist under, you know, the anti-war, or actually antiwar.com would be a good site for you to go. Actually, Patrick Cannon is working for antiwar.com. If you get a chance to go there, that's a good libertarian site. But going back is in my younger days when I was a teenager, after Four Dead in Ohio and stuff, when I became a political activist, I was working with the hippies. The hippies, the Trial of Chicago 7, watch that. That's on Netflix. And, you know, I got a lot of Academy Awards. But, you know, that was where the anti-war movement really started. And, you know, you can look at it and say, oh, well, that's where leftists said, nah, you know, the hippies were more anarchists than we were. We were more pie in the politician's face stuff. But anyways, you know, back in those days, you know, there was the realists, like Krasner, he helped start the hippies with Abby Hoffman and stuff. But he wrote a book in 1908, or 2008, you need to look this book up. It's really, just look at the cover. Go to Amazon and look at this cover talking about today. And it's called Who's to Say What's Obscene? Well, Disney's really obscene, what you're thinking about today. But back in the early 2000s, this artist was using all these Disney characters in fornicating positions. You know, Pinocchio with his nose up somebody, and, you know, Pluto effing somebody goofy. Pluto's goofy and all that other stuff. And, you know, and Disney got pissed. Disney got pissed at it and took it to the Supreme Court and lost. So just look at the cover. Just Google If you get a chance, it's a great read. I mean, it's about Lenny Bruce and George Carlin and all the counterculture for freedom of speech and against all these idiots. But it's called Who's to Say What's Obscene? Paul Krasner wrote that. I met him before. He started the Yippies with Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin. And another, to go along with that, watch the trial of Chicago 7. And it's on Netflix. Those two things, they open your eyes to a different aspect. But I'm just saying, that at that time, this is just, oh, this is terrible. You can't have Pluto effing Goofy. You know, this is awful. You know, we're suing you. But the Supreme Court held it up that it was freedom of speech. And now it comes, 12 years later, they're saying, hey, we got to have LGBT here.
Isn't it insane? It is so insane.
They used to fight it. This was just in 2005 or 6. But look up at, just if you go on Google that on Amazon, you know, Who's to Say What's Obscene? You'll see his book, and you can read some of the stuff in the, for free on the, you take a look inside. But the cover itself is this artist's work. But he was like, porn Disney is what I should call it. You know what I mean? Disney didn't then. Now they're embracing it.
Well, yeah, it's just, it really is so insane. And this is where, you know, the total destruction of the culture, the morality, the values of what freedom of speech is. I mean, you're allowed to say freedom of speech as long as you say what I want you to say. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's...
Well, back then we were protecting freedom of speech, and today it's the other way around. If you don't say what they want to hear, you're not allowed, you know.
Right.
It's just all part of it.
It wasn't that long ago. You know, like you said, this case was in the early 2000s when they were saying, hey, you can't make, Pluto F. Goofy. You know, that's terrible. This is our copyright. No, we wrote it a little different way, and we wrote it this and that. It's not your copyright. You can't own them forever. You know, and it's just kind of, it went to the Supreme Court in the book, they get into the detail of the case. You know, and plus, like George Carlin had to go, and Lenny Bruce had to go to court how many times, and everybody else. You know, you can't say these words, you're not George Carlin. And, you know, everybody pushes that a little bit, you know. But it's to the point now, okay, if you don't accept this, you're bad. You can't go the other way. You know what I mean? It's terrible. We should be able to say, hey, it's gone too far the other way now.
Gone from one extreme to the other. And the sad part is today what's happening is the total destruction of this country, the foundation of this country, if we don't get back to what the Constitution really was about and the states, the states' rights, and, you know,
it is kind of going that way, but you know what I mean? And I've heard this fear-mongering going on for a long, long time, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, and everything else. I still think that, you know, America still works pretty good, and most people aren't ready to give up on it yet. I worry more about, you know, if they do really slam down on speech, but a lot of people are speaking out. Look at the truckers up in Canada, and we were going to do that here, and they said, we better give up on this Fauci shit. You know what I mean? Americans, in fact, the airlines just came out today. I don't know if you heard. They says they're asking Biden, get rid of it all. We're tired of this. Tired of playing your mask game. The masquerade's over. The masquerade's over. Let's get rid of it.
Yeah, and the masquerade was nothing to do with health. It was everything to do with control. And that's what people have to understand. That's what we have to get people to be educated. It was, and, of course, Fauci's out there still talking about another variant and thinking we may have to go back into it again, whatever. I mean, the insanity for him to even say it.
Fauci makes me sick. It's just like the government health care makes me sick. I love that bumper sticker, you know. Fauci makes me sick, you know. I mean, the whole thing is just their whole masquerade party needs to go bye-bye. Send the masquerade party back to the White House.
Masquerade. It's nothing but a masquerade. It really is. It's what it's been all along. And the sad fact is if we get anything that's really serious, a real attack, a bio-weapon, which – to me, COVID was a bioweapon attack.
Well, you know, but for them, it's practice. It's practice.
Yeah, exactly.
They do want to come. They want to practice on how we're going to lock people down and tell them what to do. And if we get away with this, then we're going to go, we're going to step it up a little over here. We're going to do this. Let's try this. Okay, well, that didn't work. Let's throw a little few bombs out there and see what happens now. You know, and let's
distract
it. This is practice.
This is practice. And
you know,
the big game is still going. Yet, we are at the top. Yeah, we're at the top of the hour right now. We're still being recorded. People who are listening via the internet probably just got cut off by a few seconds here.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been a great discussion. Go ahead and the last words, and then I'll give John a chance to say something too.
Well, last words, you know, I was on this one little radio program and had a little thing about come up with a T-shirt, you know, about Biden or the Democrats and stuff, and I says, well, why not this war, huh? What is it good for? Absolutely Biden, because it helps Biden out and gets him over there. And for a bumper sticker, I can't. That was for a T-shirt. And then, of course, on the back, say it again. War. Huh. What is it good for? Absolutely Biden. And then the bumper sticker was basically it was that nothing from nothing leaves Biden. That has something you want to do with us, with the U.S., but nothing from nothing leaves Biden, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
I get the drift of it. I do.
Okay.
That's cute. Well, anyway, thank you so much for calling in, Ed. And John, do you have any last words of wisdom before I sign off here? John, are you still there, or are you on mute? I don't hear a sound, so he must be.
Well, God bless, Ellie. We'll talk to you again. Take care.
Okay,
hey, if you get a chance
so
to, my buddy Frank from constitutionalcappuccino.com, he passed away 3 years ago, called you quite a few times, and he liked constitutionalcappuccino.com. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, and everyone else, thank you for tuning in. If you were listening on the internet, obviously this got cut short because we're just a little bit over our time. So please educate, do what you can to share information with others, be engaged, be part of the solution. Evil will flourish while good people do nothing. So we have got to be engaged. We have got to protect ourselves. We've got to get back to a moral society, which means getting the churches engaged again. The churches have fallen on the sidelines and are not doing their job. And it all comes down to what's happening in this sexual identity thing, how confused people are, the games that are being played with this stuff. It's all symbolic of the confusion we have as a society. Like we talk a lot about science, but we don't seem to want to talk about the real science. We don't want to talk about natural law. We want to go and promote this type of thing, which it doesn't make any sense. We need to stop playing the Mickey Mouse game and go with Mighty Mouse. Not Mickey Mouse, but Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse will save the day. Mickey Mouse, I don't know what's happened to Mickey Mouse. He used to be a nice guy. It's all kind of crazy. Mighty Mouse. Let's go to Mighty Mouse. And with that being said, thank you again for tuning in. God bless America. And we will talk again next week.